And stay tuned, more with Dr. Lorianne Levin as we continue chatting about ESP and spirit communication and much more. Her work, fantastic work, by the way, God, the Universe, and Where I Fed In. We'll be back with her in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Lori, right at the top of the hour, we had you talking about, was it what, one of your patients or someone who you've been associated with?
It was a patient who had a very difficult time communicating and would look out from under her eyes and didn't say anything but would show up regularly for her appointments. And all of a sudden, while I'm sitting there with her, not having moved any of my position, a sharp pang went into my foot. And I took a grand leap at that stage in my professional career to say, I'm wondering if your feet are hurting. She said, yes. I have not been touched since my mother died, and my mother would rub my feet. Off to the races. We were then able to have a session with some material. What I bring that up is not that you have to be a therapist to do it, but to be attentive to the different ways that your intuition works or that the guidance realm would work with you. As an electromagnetic field, it can come in many, many, many forms. Pangs, imagery, high-pitched tones, twitches, chills. And then the inventory that we do with ourselves is to take pause and to say, where is this coming from and why? If it is structural, your body is capable of creating that. It is structural. But if it has alternate import, to take a beat and to honor that and to really ask it to make itself known and to be active in the request so that that consciousness which is there to serve you can come forward to do that.
Lori, do you think that people are being guided and helped, or are they truly doing all of this just on their own?
Truly with me and with many, you are being helped. It is a connection of God's self, which is more than your DNA, that you are more than your physical body. You are a connected being on many different realms, in many dimensions, in many time frames, that is operative at all times without knowing what time really is. That also is aided by consciousness that comes in to serve beyond. It's almost as though we are all one soul, even though we choose to perceive ourselves as discrete and sovereign because we have a unique purpose, but we are all connected. So this is unfathomable in some ways and understandable in others.
You know, throughout my entire history, my career here, in terms of the intuition, I've never felt as if I had a spirit guide or a helper. A lot of our guests have. Hans King says he has spirit guides. I always just seem like I'm tapping into something out there, but I don't feel as if I'm getting the guidance that some other people have. Why not? Why do I lack that feeling?
Well, I have a question for you. You've never felt your aunt on your shoulder ever?
Not in terms of intuition or anything. You know, I sometimes will feel a presence when I'm doing a program or interviewing somebody who might have known her, but I just don't have that direct feeling of someone is helping me.
I have a postulate for you. Because you are a light worker, it is your mission to bring in knowledge. It is your mission to open people up, to initiate movement, breaking down rigidity, helping people flex new muscles, shaping new worldviews, that there is a piece of you that must reside in the shadow in order to lust to do this work day in and day out. And I wonder if you don't feel that connection because the part of you that yearns to keep going needs to be fueled.
Maybe.
But if you give me a minute, let me go in. Hold on 1 second. Let me go in on you.
All right.
No, I get that.
That's difficult.
I get that I said it, but let me give you an exercise right here, right now. Go ask. This is something that I do every day. Ask quietly, is there anything that you might not know to ask that guidance wants you to know? And just stay quiet and see if anything comes.
Of course.
What'd you get?
Well, you know, we're not talking specifically about the show. So the question I would love to get an answer for is, why are we here? You know, and that's something that drives me, pushes me. I think it drives a lot of people who listen to this program. I just came back from San Diego a couple weeks ago, speaking before some dedicated listeners, a tremendous following of listeners. And I think all of them, too, they're all looking for this answer. Now, you probably are, too, aren't you?
I have a sense for myself, but everybody comes to it with their own personal truth, and it has to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
That this is one expression. We are expressing on many, many realms and dimensions all at the same time. But in this collusion of this acceptance of time and space and connection, we are here to experience the dense physical realm that this has a gift to give us that is like nothing else, and that we don't just do it this one time, since we are eternal, our energy, our consciousness is eternal, that this is a gift to not be squandered, this connection, this collusion to agree. So I feel like I'm here to be of love. That's it.
Well, you know, you're a human being like we all are, right? And you have your ups and downs. You've had great moments and some tough moments, I'm sure. But I think the majority of us who have this ability to tap into this seem to pull out of it quicker. We get hit hard, but we pull out of it quicker. Do you feel that way?
Yes. That growth pain, you know, it's like a little kid whose femur bones are growing quickly and they get pains in their leg. We're meant to have pain. Where we can get traction is to not be in the fear or the confusion or the deficit, that you trust that it will be illuminated in its time, whatever that question is that's on the table for you as an existential being, that we can have pain, but we don't have to have it connected to fear.
Lori, I can't tell you how many people feel something, not necessarily impending doom, but they feel something. Why is this universal consciousness feeling this?
Well, I have to say that I had that feeling, but I don't have that feeling anymore. Actually, when I meditate, what I got was that we had a crossroads. We had a moment in time where we could, as a race, as a planet, go and recreate ourselves, to first destroy ourselves and then recreate ourselves. But what I get now is that on a non-physical level, we've all actually signed on to connect and to love each other and to go into a higher evolution of expanded consciousness in human form, in this form. I don't feel that. I feel like we have to hate so much where we're at that we're willing to risk the fear of the change. What is happening now worldwide is that we are in the mire and the muck to strip ourselves to what is essential. Love of self, all else will follow, to find what's really important for us as a human being, of what we want from our life, to really love ourselves, to be able to look into the mirror, to like ourselves, to be able to go through desperate times, fallow times, to be able to care about who we are, and then come out of it as a collective because we've been stripped of defenses. We connect in a deeper level. We appreciate, respect, and understand each other and ourselves at a deeper level. And then we can go into the expanded time. It's like what you talked about in your book about the end of the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, yeah. You write about, and you've talked about, disorders like schizophrenia, autism. And you say, hey, wait a minute. Something else could be causing this. It could be some kind of other dimensional bleed through. It could be an overlap. It could be something out of kilter. And I find that fascinating.
Well, it's like your aunt's experiments with epilepsy, the low voltage electrical.
Yes.
What if the electromagnetic field, and I don't say that all universal energies work on an electromagnetic field, but that low voltage, many, many energies do. That low voltage, that bleed through, is that which is rooted in expressing through the dark. And I'm not saying that autism and schizophrenia, please, anyone listening who has a family member, those are real and they do have organicity to them. But I am going to, at this moment, make a turn and say, please, when I've seen addicts who have been in, you know, very awful circumstances where their addiction has taken them into, you know, horrible places, surrounded by people who are also using. The dark resides there. People who have suffered from depression, who have felt inadequacy and perseverated in inadequacy, the dark can get in. So the dark, to me, as I said to you before, I don't believe in the devil. I believe that the dark is fear and inadequacy and confusion and deficit. And it can be, at certain times, uninterpreted light, that there are moments why it does show up in order for us to grow. But with autism, with schizophrenia, in my short experience, and I would like to do some research on this, we've had a couple of schizophrenic patients who did have a component of addiction. And with addicts who have a component of overlay of a lot of dark energies, we attempt to, at Moonview, which we haven't talked about, this holistic mental health institute that I founded in Santa Monica, we attempt to, for lack of a better word, do an exorcism, depending upon what their spiritual belief system is, not imposing, but getting them to extricate themselves from the energetic field that they've been mired in and come into a sense of light and to connect them to their own sense of God self and source and guidance. That has been enormous, which is what, you know, the 12-step program is about. It's about a spiritual intervention. So that this sense of what is mental illness is not just about applying cookie cutter tried and true ways that have accessed health, but to look at it also as a spiritual disorder.
Well, now you were on The View and you talked about we choosing our own exit plan from life. Explain that.
Besides there being a lot of research where people would say to their loved ones before they passed, I want to die, you know, fox hunting, and lo and behold, they died fox hunting. Or I want to die in my sleep, and lo and behold, they died in their sleep. There are other unexpressed ways that people do die that they didn't put into their, you know, their wish list. That we now know that certain times people have picked dates to die that were important to them. That near-death experiencers, when they come back, are told why on that particular moment they needed a course correction. That there is a sense of divine timing and method to the way that people choose to exit. Not in all cases. I do believe that there are unforeseen events that can happen. But it is a hard one for loved ones to wrap themselves around if it was not something that they would have wished for their loved one.
Would you want to know the time and date of your demise? That's a tough question, isn't it?
I don't think so, even though great yogis want to die consciously, which I guess is different than knowing when you're going to die. I think that this is a beautiful gift that we've been given, this body.
And let me throw in a caveat on this, by the way, that if you were given the time and date, you could not alter the outcome, no matter what. So if somebody said, God forbid, you're going to get hit by a car on, you know, June 8th of 2020, you couldn't say to yourself, I'm not going to drive that day.
Right. It was irrefutable. I mean, there was no.
You couldn't change the destiny of what would happen. Would you want to know? I wouldn't.
Well, in that 16-year-old's interview, reading that interview with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she's smoking one cigarette after another, and the interviewer says, Dr. Ross, Kubler-Ross, how could you smoke one cigarette after another when you're sitting there working with cancer patients day in and day out? And she says, oh, yes, because I'd much rather die of cancer than die of getting hit by a car. Explain, he says, well, when I die of cancer, I have time to make resolution with those I love. So there is a gift, not that we can't make resolution from the other side, but there is a gift in knowing that it is nigh so that we can make resolution with those we love.
Which we should be doing all the time anyway.
Yes. And you bring up a great point, which is that workbook or my doctoral dissertation, The Foundation of Life After Life, has informed this form of psychoanalysis, because at the moment of life review, where we are making resolution, and let me explain for the listeners who don't, at life review is a time after you've dropped your corporal body, and we have many, many, 40 years of research and thousands of accounts where there is a similarity to the criteria of life review, where at a moment in time, much like an animated flip book when we were young, you could see Mickey Mouse do a somersault postage pad size animated flip book.
I love those things.
These people would stop action at different moments of their life to relive it again. They lived it again as the 18-year-old who's driving fast in his truck, and he has to slam on the brake, and it's nighttime, and this old man is crossing the street that he can't hit, and he throws this man a rude gesture, and the man says, I'll fight you, and he fights him, pummels him, flattens the old man, and then peels off, and has to relive it again in life review, not only as himself, his God self, knowing why he did that, but also as the man, understanding the mutuality of that exchange. How much time do I have to keep going?
You only have 10 seconds. Beep. But you're good with a clock. You know this.
I was intuitive.
You know the format and stuff. Hey, we're going to just take this quick break, Lori. Then we're going to come back and let you finish that story and also talk about the Moonview Sanctuary, God, the universe, and where I fit in. Lori's website, by the way, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's LoriAnnLevin.com, and she spells her last name L-E-V-I-N. We'll be back. When we come back in just a moment, we'll continue our discussion, God, the universe, and where I fit in. And I've got to tell you about Streamlink. We're working on some brand new things for you, so I think you're going to love that. Streamlink, of course, where you can get iPods, downloads, archives from the past. It's just a great thing for just pennies a day. They've made it as affordable as they can, considering the band load and everything else. So Streamlink, if you want information on Streamlink, just go to coasttocoastam.com. We'll come back with our very special guest tonight, Dr. Lori Ann Levin on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Lori, before we get into the Moonview Sanctuary, the book, God, the Universe, and Where I Fit In, is it out there now? Is it available?
Yes, it's out there at a bookstore near you or online, Amazon, you know, Barnes & Noble. And
Did you have fun doing it?
I loved writing it. It took me 16 years. It was very hard. It started with the death of my mom and when I came into understanding and It's not, it's to let other people borrow my shoes. I don't presume to give anybody their pass, but I want to let people know how I did it so that they can feel their way.
When you got into this field in terms of the clinical psychology, tell me a little bit more, without revealing who they are, obviously, of your patients and how they touched you with what you were learning about the other side. Did you find that they were in tune with so many things, or was it a learning curve for them too?
Both. I don't think that there's a human that doesn't have a learning curve, but yes, I mean, they are, many people are deeply intuitive and just need kind of an understanding or a lexicon or a feeling of together that they're not alone in order to blossom full bloom. But to give you, you know, there's a gentleman who touched my life. He's very, very flat in his, flat in psychological terms means showing no emotion and very quiet. His hands were loosely wrapping the arms of the chair. He wasn't clenching. He was very flat. And his energy was literally putting me to sleep. I felt like Darcy in the poppy fields. I mean, I was literally falling asleep. And it wasn't because of the material he was seeing. He was telling me about his son was on the streets. He was a schizophrenic. And it was his birthday, and he didn't know how to reach him. That's riveting material. But he was flat, and I was falling asleep. And what that showed me is that the guidance realm wanted me to go in a direction with him. You know, and I do this before I walk into a session, is I pray for us to, for me to be open, to be on course for what that patient's needs are. And I, again, had the guts and the gumption to say, please, you have to know that what you're saying to me is so important. I want to stay attentive. But your energy is at a cross current. It's one is beckoning me in with your words, and another is pushing me away with your energetic force, and I'm falling asleep. Please, what is going on here? And God love him, he said, without missing a beat, when I cried as a young boy, my father would beat the crap out of me, and I want to cry right now. So many times we will pick up energetic fields of people who are not able to be in congruence to their truth, yet their truth is right there to be recognized with just a scratch of the surface. So they may not have the ability to talk to the other side, but when asked what's going on, they're right there with their knowing. So it depends on the does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. But and how do you handle it, though, when you come across people, whether they're peers or skeptics or whomever, that they just don't believe this? They just think it's a bunch of bunk.
You have to respect them because they come with a with that to fulfill for themselves, to make their lives meaningful for their trajectory of growth. And I respect their skepticism or their inability to... I wish that there was a capability for them to join with me. I want and ask for their God self to see my God self, but that isn't always so. There's also the times where they have a real difficult time. They balk, they kick, they scream, but they come around and I've planted a seed in some way. And they later, years later, tell me, you know, you really did want me upside the head. You know, and that was necessary too, because part of our understanding of self in coming into this body was first a reckoning with our own individuation, our own ability to be who we were, our own necessity to rebel and to understand ourselves off of and against. And that's important for our growth. And then we get to a time in our life where we're willing to put down our defenses and connect deeply with another because we know who we are and we don't have to defend anymore. So those reactions of skeptics or those who don't want to believe, I embrace for different reasons.
What do you think of the philosophy of living your every day as if it's your last?
Important that every moment is precious. Every moment is not to be squandered. In every situation, if we could, by every interaction, help or be of connection to ourself or to other in some loving way. And by the way, loving isn't always sweet and pretty and with bows on it. But in some loving way, then our life has such meaning, whether we are interdimensional or not.
Well, you know, as you have touched so many lives, and I'm sure you're continuing to do that, Lori, do you find that people are more willing to open this up for themselves, that they're more willing to believe that there's something else out there?
I know that, you know, we'll get back to the very beginning of our talk, the zeitgeist of our times, when you ask about the impending doom and mm-hmm. the feeling and looking at all the TV shows and the movies, you know, but look at Avatar, you know, with the tree and the souls. We know the ancients have known, the agrarians have known. We are re-waking up again. We are now looking at the other realms for the first time. You're on Larry King. You know, this is popular convention now. We are making headroads into being the majority. So AARP does a survey 2 years ago. 85% of women 55 and over believe in life after life.
That's huge.
Huge. 65% of men 55 and older. 15% of the population reports spiritual experiences. I will tell you that there is a vast majority of people that have had experiences that don't report because they chalk it off to, oh, coincidence, or, you know, isn't that interesting, or they don't necessarily want to talk about it. You know, one of the professors of one of my friends, a doctoral colleague, said the difference between people who are psychotic and the people who have spiritual experiences is that the people who have spiritual experiences know better than to talk about it. It's a joke. But
go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you were going to say.
Well, you worked with Michael Jackson, right? A long time ago?
Yes.
Isn't it hard to believe that in just a few months, it's going to be a year since he died?
Yes.
I mean, it's like time has just rocketed so fast. And I bring that up because, I mean, here's a situation where he's gone now. A year's already gone past. Time is going too quickly, Lori. And I think people need to take that moment, slow down a little bit, and enjoy themselves before it's gone. That precious moment is gone.
So the body, you're saying, the preciousness of this flesh expression, this earth expression, is not to be squandered and to be loved and cherished. Yet we don't die, and how to make meaning of that, you know, to not put yourself in harm's way and chance it, but to embrace it. So Michael has dropped his body, but he's still alive. There's not a day that goes by that he's not on the news or infusing us on the radio, or we walk into the gym and his music's being played. Mm-hmm. He's still here in his way. He's made a huge impact. He also had his way of being of service. So there's a connection to, as you say, this earth expression, to really cherish it, to live life as though it's the last, it's your last, even though I don't believe it is.
Tell me about the Moonview Sanctuary.
Moonview Sanctuary, I founded with the belief in life after life. Not every practitioner and doctor here is in my work. They have their own work and their own set of expertise, albeit we are all spiritual. We don't foist that on our patients. We wait for them to give us an opening to discuss what they believe in. And again, I told you, it's service and spirituality is hope and where they make meaning of their life. But why it's fascinating is that I brought together practitioners, 65 doctors and practitioners in all fields of ancient knowledge, new knowledge, neuroscience, cutting edge innovation, to think tank using the other side to help us, guide us, all of their vision of what they know exists, to bring in a newer knowledge, to bring in what exists in this realm, to bring in what we might be able to get from the other realm and create even newer knowledge. So that required a think tank of very special doctors who were willing to work in a team, not just in the team of tangible people who are sitting in a room, but a team of that which we call on. There was an invocation of request for the other side to come and bring us information at a moment's notice. You don't have to know that you're plugged in, much the way you know which question to ask, George. It just comes, and you trust that when it comes, it comes. And it's a gift, and you know when to follow it, and you know when to hold back. And so this was a effort, not just by this form of connection to that which is guiding us, but it was a mission to change the way and the delivery of mental health, that we were hamstrung by what insurance would provide. There was very short amount of sessions and money attributed to insurance investment. So we needed to figure out a way to make breakthroughs in care that weren't just funded by throwing a pill at the situation. And I am an advocate for medication, but the bulk of the research is for medication. It is not for new and different applications of different kinds of treatment. We looked at each person as a unique being, the way that they processed information. We did a quantitative EEG on their brain. We do a quantitative EEG on their brain, 12 points to measure their brain waves. We look at their family of origin, where they have trauma in their body, communication styles, Chinese medicine review. This is a lot of different people coming together, about 15 in the first 3 days of the eval. And then we think tank and we create a prescription for that person. So if they are right brain dominant, we might need to pull in art therapy, equine, hypnosis, EMDR, brain spotting, non-traditional talk therapies. Talk therapy is a left brain language-centered therapy. It is not right or quickest for everybody.
Well, that's so true. And you enjoy doing what you're doing.
Love doing what I'm doing. And this particular center was treating a privileged group, because that would be the group that could afford being outside of insurance and having a think tank at their disposal. The reason also why I wrote the book and to come forward now is to bring my work to the public. This is available on the website. It is a workbook for those who want to work individually, as well as the dissertation to talk about a new form of analysis. I do recommend, though, I mean, there are times you must go to somebody who is an expert in the field to help you through certain situations.
If they're good, right?
Yes, important. And or friends, loved ones. And sometimes you can't do it alone. So But these are avenues to be able to help people that want to work individually.
So do you feel the spiritual revolution underway?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think it's been here for a while, and it's coming. And you can just look at the children and see the difference between, you know, if you, I know your grandson is young yet, but look at the difference between your children and your grandchildren and that extra ability of light and a connection. And it is palpable, not just that we are evolving to higher dimensions of connection, and but that there is a lust, a needing, a longing, a yearning, getting back to what's now in the popular culture. We are questioning. We are facing the dark. We are going deeper. We are wondering. And that is the first step.
Well, good for you. And good for you for what you've done. And, it's refreshing to talk to enlightening people. So many people are just full of doom and gloom these days. My gosh.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
When you get patients that come in, are they down and depressed a lot? And are you able to get them to, you know, eventually be chipper?
Yes. There is light at the end of the tunnel for many. And, you know, it is different for everybody. There was a woman, a CEO, who was depressed, hospitalizations, medication. She rode and raced motorboats. And she was very, very down and came to us. And we had a 3-day eval with the traditional therapist, you know, mm-hmm. family therapist. We also had craniosacral therapist look over her body. I went in as an intuitive to do an eval. I didn't talk to her about that. They don't bring that in. I just bring my skills with me. And her mother and grandmother raised her in the South, summarily dismissed the father. It wasn't known. She didn't really have a religious affiliation. But in my eval with her, just sitting and talking, I came out and had a intuition that she... Do I need to stop?
Well, it depends. How long's your story?
Let me stop.
All right. We'll let you stop. We'll be back with phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.